Welcome to Headsy Happenings, the premier podcast for young people in South Yorkshire thinking of applying to higher education.
Hello, and welcome to Headsy Happenings, the premier podcast shining a light on what's currently happening in higher education. We'll be helping you to explore your options and feel more prepared for your next steps after school, college, or sixth form. We'll chat with current students, recent graduates, and professionals in the education industry to get real insights that benefit you.
So a little more about us. HEPSY is a partnership between Sheffield University and Sheffield Hallam, aiming to reduce the gap between the most and least represented groups in all forms of higher education, making sure you're well informed about your future options and prepared for those next steps. We're an Office for Students funded UniConnect programme and work closely with 46 schools and colleges throughout South Yorkshire and North Nottinghamshire. So you may have seen our faces in your school or college in the past. At the moment, we're working remotely, but still offer lots of support and resources through our website, hepsy.org. So this is your podcast. Let us know what questions you have or what themes you'd like for future episodes.
My name's Dan. I'll be one of your hosts today.
And my name's Rachel, and I'm also going to be one of your hosts. The topic for today's podcast is all about alternative routes through HE, and we're going to go through a number of different topics with our guests.
My name's Damon. I'm an outreach officer from the University of Sheffield. Really happy to be here today.
Yeah, I'm Martin. I'm the Schools and Colleges Engagement Coordinator, one of them at Sheffield Hallam University.
Hi, and I'm Molly. I'm Marketing Executive at Arden University, and thank you for having me today.
First of all, kicking off, just a little bit of an update from you guys, just about what's been happening in your life. So, Damon, what's been happening in your life?
What's been happening in my life? What a great question. Quite a lot of colleagues know this. Over the first lockdown, completely renovated my garage into a home gym. Love a bit of health and fitness for the older mental and physical well-being. At the moment, working on getting all the lighting installed, ready for winter, getting a little bit of heating in there as well. Although I do work up a sweat when I exercise, I've got to say, I'm just anticipating it's going to be extra cold, so I still want a nice bit of heat going through there. So looking forward to getting that set up and ready to go with the exercise at home.
Brilliant.
Very jealous there, Damon, to be fair. I wish I had a home gym. What about you, Molly? What's been happening in your life?
So I actually passed my driving test a couple of weeks ago.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you very much. So really enjoying having a car and being able to get about a little bit more. So that's been really nice and really exciting for me. Being able to go and see family and friends and give them away from the car has been really nice over the last few weeks and months. So,
congratulations. A bit of freedom as well, I bet. Yeah. So finally, Martin, what's been HEPSY happening in your life?
Also, I've been getting out and about as much as I can, but more just the weather's been a bit nicer recently. So I've just been crunching on some autumn leaves around Sheffield, just going for a stroll or on my bike as much as I can.
Very nice. Brilliant. We're a very active bunch by the sounds of it, crikey. What about yourself, Dan? What have you been up to?
Well, recently the Highest Mets and I have assembled all our musical instruments in the living room come kitchen. We're having a bit of a house band. So we're just having some jams and we're looking forward to doing that more.
Very nice. So everyone's been really, really busy by the sounds of it and keeping active and keeping our spirits up, which is great. So we'll go straight into the first topic.
Last episode, of course, we spoke about mostly university degree courses, particularly Russell Group universities, and how to kind of gain entrance onto those courses. And this week, we've invited guests to come and talk about alternative routes into higher education, maybe the routes that you might not know as much about. We've invited guests to share different methods of going into higher education. I'd like to go to Damon first.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. So I guess one of the main reasons why I'm here and why I'm a guest today is because I personally experienced an alternative route into higher education. I'm a South Yorkshire lad, born and bred, and I actually went to one of the local colleges that had a higher education remit. So I was able to gain admission onto what's called a foundation degree, which is equivalent to the first 2 years of a regular degree that you'd do anywhere. And then having completed that and really enjoying my time doing it, I then had the opportunity at the college to then top that up into a full degree to do that additional year. And that was in health related exercise and fitness. So I was able to stay at home, have that higher education learning experience, and be in an environment that I was really comfortable in and thriving quite well at sixth form.
Thanks a lot for that, Damon. I'd like to go to Martin. What are you here to speak about today?
Yeah, thanks, Dan. I'm here to talk a little bit about degree apprenticeships, which is a relatively new way into higher education. These have only been around since about 2015. So it's still something that some people might not know too much about. Basically, people might have an understanding already of what the term apprenticeship means. So that's usually when you've got a job and you're kind of getting paid to work, but you're also studying for a qualification around it that's linked to the job that you're doing. And the degree apprenticeship, as you might guess from the word degree, it's a way of doing that. And at the end of the apprenticeship, you actually get a full university degree as well. It does offer quite a different experience for the learner compared to being kind of a traditional university student. With a degree apprenticeship, you are working from day one as well and doing the university study around that. Some of the most popular ones, I think nationally and also within our region around South Yorkshire, might be linked to business and management. Digital technology, so IT and various aspects of computing, engineering, so different types of engineering, and then also construction.
With regard to student loans, they differ a little when you apply for a degree apprenticeship. Would you like to expand on that a little bit?
That is a significant difference, because as if you apply for a degree as a full-time regular student to go to university, you would normally take out student loans for each year of your degree to help cover the cost of your tuition fees, so the cost of your learning, and then also potentially to help with the cost of your living as well while you're a student. If you're a degree apprentice, you don't need to take out any loans to cover the cost of your degree. The tuition fees for you learning on that course are covered by businesses and by the government, so there's no cost to you as a learner. I've seen wages advertised as a starting wage from anything from 12,500 up to about 19,000. So as you can, you know, but it's also worth bearing in mind that apprentices might get a pay rise as they progress through their apprenticeship as well.
Brilliant. Okay, well, thanks for that, Martin. That's really enlightening. Just wonder if I could come to Molly now. Molly, what are you here to talk to us today about?
Yeah, so I've been invited here today to tell you about Arden University. So you might not have heard of them before, which is fine. I hadn't heard of them until I started working for them either. And they offer sort of a different way of learning to the traditional route. So you've got two delivery mode options that you can take with Arden. You can either do online learning, which is your entire degree programme online, so it gives you real flexibility. You can do it from absolutely anywhere in the world at any time. And we've got the blended learning option as well, which is two lots of 4 hours a week, either in the mornings or the afternoons. You come into one of our 6 study centres, so we've got one in Manchester, one in Birmingham, 3 in London, and 1 over in Berlin, and you do those face-to-face contact hours, 8 hours a week, and then the rest is sort of self-led study in your own time online.
Brilliant. I had no idea that Arden was so widespread across the UK and it seems Europe. Do the courses differ between each route?
Yeah, so we've got very similar courses running across both routes. They're very, very bespoke in what we offer. So we have subjects such as business and management, healthcare, psychology, criminology, computing and IT, law, and then graphic design. And the great thing about Arden is the majority of our courses are actually accredited, which means that a professional body has approved them as being sort of really good quality. So it would give you the real edge in your next steps career-wise in what you wanted to go into.
Brilliant. That's really interesting. Thanks a lot, Molly.
So the next thing we are thinking about is why these alternative routes that you've all discussed. So why do you think that students, they would actually appeal to students? So Damon, starting with you, what made you choose to go down the route that you chose to go down?
A lot of it for me was about building my confidence. When I did leave sixth form, I was at a bit of a crossroads, and I did enter into higher education initially, but I just rushed into it and didn't do my research. By the time I was 21, I got to a point where I wanted to get back into higher education. And I mentioned about doing HE at a college. It's a familiar environment. It was something that I was used to. I could also do a foundation degree and get a taster of what a high level qualification would be like. And it's just a way for me to get my confidence back up. I'd also say it's definitely appealing because for me personally, I was staying within my comfort zone. So I was still quite local to where I lived and I was in a learning environment that I was familiar with, but I was still able to push my boundaries at the same time. So what I mean by that is I was obviously working towards a higher level qualification. The standard of work was more difficult. It did challenge me, but I really enjoyed that. It really kind of motivated me and it just made me work hard and want to succeed. And you still get all the perks that a student would get if studying at a mainstream university as well. I was still fully entitled to get a tuition loan and a maintenance loan. Doing HE in a college setting, it was quite a few grand cheaper per year. So for a lot of people, that can be an influential factor. I still had work experience opportunities. I was still able to get bursaries. So when I found that out, I was like, ka-ching, free money. That's awesome.
That's great as well. And like you mentioned, obviously for you, it was to build up that confidence. And like you said, by that point, you were 21, so a little bit older. So and then decided that you wanted to go back into HE. So it's a message to anyone that's listening that, you know, it's never too late to go back into education. That brings us nicely on to Molly to ask the same question. So why do you think in particular that students can see the option of distance and remote learning, and what is that appeal that's bringing them into your university?
In terms of mature learners, I think the flexibility that's offered just means that they can still get their degree or advance their education and career whilst working full-time or childcare commitments, or if they're a professional sportsman, for example. It gives them the flexibility to do all of that study around them in their sort of routine and diary and other commitments. A lot of people have come to us who want to progress in their careers or in their workplace. And use Arden as a platform to be able to do so. But also in terms of sort of younger learners, not everyone sort of learns in the same way and wants to learn in the same way. So having the chance to sort of do it from your bedroom or your living room at home, not having to go and have those face-to-face lessons or having less of them might be really appealing for someone. So it just offers a different route and gives people a choice really to learn how they're most comfortable, which I think is really important.
Absolutely, yeah. And like you say, you know, the flexibility of the learning that you provide and the platform that you provide for progression is absolutely fantastic. And as well, it is the flexibility that you are offering that again fits into a lot of people's lives a lot easier than the traditional university pathway. So finally, coming on to Martin, degree apprenticeships, why do you think students sort of choose and opt to go down that route?
Yeah, I think there's a number of different things that appeal to learners depending on their situations. It is an appealing route for people who feel quite clear in terms of the job or the type of career or sector they'd like to get into, because it offers them that opportunity to start their career straight away at the same time as studying for a degree. They don't feel like they have to get a degree and then begin their full-time working career. They can basically do them both from the same start point. Sort of linking back to Molly's point just now in terms of people learning in different ways, some people feel like they learn really well and enjoy being able to apply their learning in sort of in real life. So they enjoy doing the university study on a degree apprenticeship. It might be one day a week, it might be a week at a time, every few weeks, and then being able to kind of put that into practice with their job. I think that, again, linking back to what Damon mentioned, the money factor of not having to take out a tuition fee loan and also being paid a salary, like we discussed earlier, is a practical attraction for lots of people thinking about degree apprenticeships.
And obviously there's lots and lots there that you've mentioned, Martin, that's really, really appealing. And we know from working in schools and colleges that we have lots and lots of students who are wanting to progress down the degree apprenticeship route. With that in mind, Martin, just one more thing on this topic. Obviously, there's lots and lots of people going down that route. So what would you say about the competitive nature of degree apprenticeships?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think they are competitive. And I think particularly for people who are maybe in their final couple of years of school or college, so, you know, year one or year two of a college course or sixth form, generally, when you look at them, there's going to be fewer degree apprenticeship places than there are for the full-time university courses in the same sector. And that's because, as we've said, these rely on there being job spaces as well. So if a company, you know, only has room for one degree apprentice at a certain time, It doesn't matter if the university could teach 20 degree apprentices, you know, that company's still only going to be able to put one onto that course. So they are competitive, and the application process is a little bit different to applying for full-time university. So it does more take the shape of job interviews, as well as needing to have those A-levels or BTECs or equivalent qualifications that you would need for the university degree. So I think it's important to understand they're not easy to get onto, but there is a lot that students can do to improve their chances. And it's worth mentioning, like as kind of touched on earlier on, these have only been around for about 5 years, and they have grown very significantly in that period of time across the country. So I would expect there to continue to be a kind of broadening of the different routes are available, and maybe also the different universities and colleges that are providing these options.
Brilliant, thank you. And just to mention as well, there's lots of universities across the UK that all offer different practical and applied options and different courses. So it really is important that you do that research when you are coming to have a look at what might be the right course for you, what might be the right pathway.
What advice would you give in terms of them making, you know, a really strong application for that route? Damon, can we jump to you first?
In order to make strong application, you initially need to make an informed decision about the higher education institution that you want to go to. So highlighting the word informed, it's actually doing your research. So a lot of the things that we've already discussed, such as learning styles, possibly the social opportunities as well, they're the types of things that you need to research that will help to inform your decision. And also how your course is set up. Once you're really familiar with that, putting an application together just becomes a little bit more natural almost. You're able to showcase your knowledge of the course, the subject area, potentially where you're wanting to go to study, and you're also able to relate that to you as an individual person. So the personal qualities, the skills that you've got, you can match that up to the course and ultimately show what you bring to the table as a student. And having worked with FE students quite a lot on applications previously, when I worked at a college, I'd probably say one of the best things you can do is just be yourself. They know all the statistical stuff about you from the rest of your application. Say in a personal statement, that's your chance to be you and let you shine through. I think that's really important.
Thanks, Damon. That's brilliant. If we were to go to Molly next on the same point, what advice would you give for a prospective student making an application to your institution?
Your application is your chance to showcase you. And I personally find it really, really difficult to turn around and say, you know, yeah, I'm really good at this, or pick me because I can do that. But that's essentially what you need to do in an application. But before making that application, you need to make sure you've found the right fit for you. So by all means, listen to the advice of your teachers or your parents or your friends. Do sort of think about what is going to be the best fit for you personally and make a good decision. So at Arden we're doing it, and I know lots of other institutions are doing them, but we've got things like online open days and taster sessions that you can attend online. So please do go to those and think about those and consider them and attend as many as you possibly can, because it's the best shot you're going to get at seeing if it's a fit for you.
Great, thanks Molly. And Martin, I think you've kind of covered this question, but I'd just like to give you an opportunity to add anything briefly further.
It's really important for people that are looking for degree apprenticeships to be proactive. So keep checking vacancy websites regularly. Each job advert is potentially going to be quite different, so sort of slightly differently to maybe writing a personal statement and applying to a few universities with the same personal statement. You definitely want to be looking at each job advert independently and tailoring your application every time to make sure you've really shown off you have the strengths that are kind of relevant for that particular job. It can be tough, I think, particularly for students to get work experience sometimes when they're in year 12 or year 13. We appreciate that's not always easy, and at the time of recording that's probably as difficult as it's been for a while. So what I would say is just, it comes back to that proactivity again. If you're able to find some free online courses, maybe some sort of free events or open days like Molly mentioned to go along to, that's always worthwhile. as well as those events, there's plenty of websites. So if students just want to Google find an apprenticeship, that will take them to the government's website where most apprenticeship vacancies are advertised. And I think finally, it's important just to persevere. You might not get every opportunity that you put an application in for, and you know that can be disappointing, of course. But I know that plenty of the degree apprentices I've worked with have been able to get onto their apprenticeship just by continuing to apply and sort of taking feedback on board.
Wanted to add something for young people especially. There's no such thing as a perfect application. It's definitely something that you need to really persevere with and get feedback off. They understand that it's the first time a lot of people are actually putting an application of that nature together. So there is a degree of flexibility in there as well. And I think it's completely normal to maybe make some errors when you're doing an application. If you do get setbacks, get your feedback, take the advice on board and just try and learn from it.
So that actually brings us really nicely, Damon, into the last sort of topic when you were saying about the support that you were given and how supportive the HE College were when you submitted your application. Talking about sort of university experience and university life, for example, how can students make friends or get involved in activities or access any support services that might be available? So if I start with you, Molly, at Arden and remote learning.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have an online platform called iLearn, and that's where everything sort of takes place. So that's where students can find all the resources and things like that they'll need, but it's also where they can go to for support. So they can get career support or general support and advice on there. We set up forums for the classes. So although you'd be working remotely, you're still with a class and you can interact in forums and things like that and network and make friends. And because it is a remote uni, we have students from all over the world that study with us. So you get sort of international networks and contacts and lots of different people that you can meet and learn from. And then in our study centres, we also have a student support team. So you can go and visit them anytime in any of the centres and ask them for the help that you might want. So all students and staff at Arden University get access, free access to Together for All, which was previously Big White Wall, which is a mental health platform. So they can access that 24 hours a day, 365 days a year at any point for anything that they need in terms of support there as well.
That's brilliant. Thanks, Molly. And for you, Damon, at the HE College and the route that you decided to take, how do you think your experience differed to the traditional university experience?
So to kind of cover the social aspect at first, we actually, when we first started our course, we still had the opportunity to attend a higher education freshers' fair, where they, again, would show all of the extracurricular activities that you could do across the university. They even had societies and everything else that you could get involved in. In terms of personal development, because the course I was doing was quite vocational in terms of health and fitness, I was introduced to networks where I could upskill as a personal trainer, which again was really useful in terms of applying further knowledge to a career. And then I was also given the opportunity to still stay in contact with my tutors after I had finished my course, where they would always kind of signpost me to relevant career opportunities. And then in terms of support, in my final year, I was given a personal tutor. We kind of had regular progress reviews. In my final year, I was topping up to a full degree, so it was nice to have that extra support. The last thing I want to state on support is the university is really sensitive to the fact that when I was applying that I did lack confidence. So I was given the opportunity to actually have face-to-face meetings with the tutors over the summer before I started.
Yeah.
Just talk things through and become accustomed to how things were going to be.
It sounds like from the feedback that, you know, you were supported through absolutely every step of the way, and the same at Arden University, Molly, for what you were saying. And it is something that, again, due to the pandemic and due to the current situation, that a lot of us are moving to a lot more remote learning. We are going to have to get accustomed to, especially in the months ahead. So from your point of view, Martin, just to finish, for degree apprentices, how does their experience differ and how is it similar? And especially in the current climate as well?
Degree apprentices get all of the same support in terms of welfare and academic support as our full-time students. They've got a dedicated work-based learner and make sure that they're progressing as they want to and as they need to. And we found that they enjoy being in a class for their teaching where they're going to be learning alongside people who are on the same degree as them but potentially work for different companies. So that's kind of a chance for them to sort of like discuss, have chats, you know, both about work and just socially with people from different backgrounds, different parts of the country. I think it's going to vary probably at different universities and across different courses. But I would think that if you take the example of maybe a group on a block release model who might only attend a university once or twice in a term for a few days at a time, I would expect they may have been moved to online teaching. Because the university and also the employers, the companies who the apprentices work for, who also obviously want to look after their staff, will probably be thinking, if we can have this teaching delivered online via Zoom or a Google Classroom or Microsoft Teams, then at the moment when everything is a bit more restricted, it makes sense for that to probably happen virtually. And I would imagine that they might look at that again, depending on what sort of situation we're just in across the country, maybe after Christmas, in terms of whether apprentices will start coming back to the university for their face-to-face teaching.
Absolutely, right. Yeah, and it's changing so rapidly, isn't it, the situation, that I think it's important to say that, especially with degree apprenticeships, but also with all other routes as well, it's really important to keep checking the updates that the universities and employers are popping out there. All of the universities are putting updates on their websites, Twitter accounts, different social media platforms really, really regularly. And also, if you want to find out any more information about the apprenticeship route and the different types of apprenticeships, Martin previously mentioned a couple of websites, and we'll include all of those in the body text that the podcast comes with. But also, just to draw your attention to a video that's recently been created by the University of Sheffield and the engineers at the AMRC. It's called Breaking the Mould with Black and Ethnic Minority Apprentices, and you can access this on the HEP YouTube, who are our sister organisation.
Obviously, we've heard about quite a lot of institutions today, but we'd just like to mention a couple of others in our partnership, including the Higher Education Colleges, Sheffield College, University Centre Rotherham, Barnsley College and University Centre Doncaster, where you can hopefully expect similar styles of learning. In terms of distance learning, of course, the Open University and lots of other universities which are also offering similar styles of learning. Make sure to check on UCAS for those. To conclude, I'd like to thank our guests today. Been brilliant, really knowledgeable and lovely to have you on. So I'd just like to give you an opportunity to sign off, say goodbye.
Yeah, it's been really nice to be on and hear from everybody and have the chance to kind of chat over these different topics. So I hope it's been useful for people. And cheers.
Thank you so much for having me. One of the best things about having gone to university was actually being able to like look back on it and reminisce and think about all the good times. We're definitely in a day and age where there's a lot of help and guidance out there. So I just encourage anyone to just utilize it as much as they want. Cheers, guys.
Yeah, final thank you from me as well. Best of luck to everybody who is about to go make those decisions on the next steps. I hope it goes well for you all.
Thank you very much, everybody. And like I mentioned just previously, if you have got any additional questions as a result of listening to this podcast, by all means, you can contact us on our website, which is www.hepsi.org/chat, where you can either chat to us online. Our qualified team of careers advisors will answer any questions that you have. Or alternatively, give us a call. We have an advice line open Monday to Wednesday, 3 p.m. while 5 p.m. And our telephone number is 0114 478 1002. We're running a HEP Fest, which is happening on the week commencing the 7th of December. Lots and lots of sessions to get involved in, and we'd love to see as many people attending as possible. So a huge thank you to our guests, and we hope to see you soon for our episode 3. Thank you.
Thanks, bye all.
Nothing should stop you progressing to further study, but if you're unsure of your options, there is help. HEPFest is a week-long free online festival giving students, parents, carers, teachers and advisors support and insights to the further and higher education opportunities and pathways in South Yorkshire. Take part in a wide range of sessions featuring speakers from HEP, both Sheffield Universities, HEPFest, the 7th to the 11th of December. Get more info and book onto sessions at hep.ac.uk/festival.